I want you to open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. And I'm using this particular passage of Scripture merely as a point of departure because there are many Scriptures I'm going to share this morning. The thing that God placed in my heart as we begin to look at how things, the conditions all around us, some are aware of some things that are out of order. But let me tell you something, there are more things out of order than you could possibly, you could even imagine. There are things that are happening. There are decisions that are being made by the majority of people. We're not just talking about decisions that are made by select few, but we're talking about the mass decisions or collective decisions, corporate decisions that are being made in this nation and all over the world. That's moving away from God's original plan and his intentions for humanity rather than in the direction that God would have us to move. And, you know, sometimes when I minister, people, I know we like to hear things that are pleasant and that are positive and things that would make us feel good about ourselves and those other kind of things. But let me tell you, yes, the gospel is in fact good news, but it's good news because it presents to us God's original intent, and it shows us the possibilities of what could very well happen within our lives as we fully align ourselves with the will of God. In other words, it's saying to us that this is not a hopeless situation. That's the good news. Regardless of how bad things are, how out of order things are, and disrupted things may be, the good news is that it doesn't have to remain this way, and ultimately things are going to change. Because the time is going to come, the days are going to come, where God's kingdom is going to descend upon this earth, that he's going to establish his order among the people that will receive it. Yes, there'll be the separation that's going to take place for those that have fully aligned themselves against God. But I mean those that are hungry to know God, those that have surrendered their hearts and lives to the Lord. Then let me tell you something. I was ministering recently to some people. Some leaders, some ministers, and I begin to say that our message is prophetic. It's not just a matter of speaking as to where we are, but it's preparation for where we're about to enter into. And that's the confusing part of ministering the Word of God or the message of the kingdom, because it's not just addressing our direct needs or our felt needs, but it's taking us or projecting us into our future. This is God's idea, and this is where God desires to take us. So now I'm going to talk about steadying the areas of instability. That's the name of the subject today. Steadying the areas of instability. How can we get to the place of steadying those areas of instability? Because, in other words, how can we become Christians that's not shaky? We don't want to be shaky Christians. Christians that, you know, shaky people. Yeah, they're unpredictable when you're shaky. You know, some people talk about shady people, but I talk about shaky people. You kind of go with the wind, whatever way the wind blows, whichever direction or course of action may be taking place around us or among us. There are people that will move in that particular direction. But the reason I'm ministering this message is because we don't want you to be like that. We want you to be stable Christians. We want you to be people of stability, people who are rooted and grounded in the Word of God. So here in 1 John, 5th chapter and the 19th verse, it helps us to know what is happening behind the scenes. Because we see the activities, but we can't see what's happening behind the scenes. But this is what John was saying. We know, and I trust that we all know, that we are of God. That's first and foremost. For we know that we are of God. We can stop there for a moment, and that's a Selah moment, because we need to make sure that that's established among us. Now, that doesn't mean everybody is of God. Don't you generalize this. This is not this universalism so that we believe that everybody will ultimately be saved and all of that. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about those that have been born again, those whose hearts and lives have been changed by the Holy Spirit, those who have been brought to the place of receiving what the Lord has in fact offered. I'm not talking about religious folk. Because there's a whole lot of religious people that's going to miss it because their religion has become the object of their faith. And that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people who have surrendered their hearts and lives to the Lord. He says, so now I want for those of us who have given your hearts and lives to the Lord, it says, we know that we are of God. But let's look at the world now. So we got to draw a line between where we are and where the world is so that we can be a help to those that are outside. It's not a matter of pointing a guilty finger and say, you guys have lost it. But how can we be an assistance to the lost? Let's first of all, we recognize who we are, where we are, and the conditions that are residing all around us. What's happening around us? Here it is here. These are the conditions. It says, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The whole world. The whole world. It's not saying that, in other words, the Bible is helping us understand that Satan is the God, little g, of the world system. So it is really, in fact, saying that the system itself is corrupt. And if the system is corrupted, you can't get good stuff out of a corrupted system. You can't get fresh water out of a rusty pipe. Because whatever is in the pipe is going to get into the water. Now, that's just common sense, isn't it? That's just common sense. We're not getting deep or heavy. We're just helping you understand how simple this thing is. It lies under, either this is true or it isn't, it lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. Wow. Wow. Listen to what he's saying to us. He is telling us, even in this scripture, we know that the Son of God has come. First of all, Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, Son of God, incarnation. Incarnate. We're getting close to Easter. Jesus came in the flesh and he died for all humanity. He died for our sins. So now, and he has given us an understanding. So we're no longer ignorant. We're no longer ignorant in relation to who he is and what he's all about. Oh, let me tell you something. Paul continues to say, I would not have you to be ignorant. I will not have you to be ignorant. I want you to get an understanding. I want you, when you come together as you've come together today, not to allow the word of God to go past you. I don't want it to be like water on a duck's back. I want the word to penetrate your heart so that as a result of the word penetrating your heart, then that word will bring you to a new place in the Lord. You will begin to see some things that you otherwise would be incapable of seeing as a result of the word of God changing you, transforming your life. I would say one of the most disappointing things is when people are exposed to the truth, but they can walk away from it because the truth has very little or no effect upon their lives. Because if the truth is really having an effect upon your life, it's going to change you. It's going to change your outlook, going to change your behavior. Everything about your life will be transformed as a result of receiving the word of God. Not the word of God being offered, because a gift can be offered to you, but that doesn't necessarily mean that gift is being applied. Because until you receive it, there's no application. We have to receive what God, we have to receive what God is offering us. And the Lord is making an offer to us right here and right now. Let's go on. Look at what he says here. We know this, but let's go back to this area of swaying. Let's look at this thing of swaying. We sway. The whole world lies under the sway. This word sway means moving back and forward. Back and forward. Back and forward. Back and forward. Or side to side. Yeah, in other words, that's the sway. The sway is not standing still. Understand me now. When something is swaying, it's not standing still. It's in motion. And sometimes, anytime there's movement, people are impressed with the fact that there is the appearance of life because they see movement. They see motion. You see, anything that's in motion, you see, anything that's in motion becomes impressive. They say, it has to be right because it's not as it once was. We see it progressing towards something, but understand this, you do not see the end of the movement. It is not just, saying, I'm going somewhere, but the question is, where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you headed? In other words, where is this going to take you? Yeah, you here on Sunday morning and we're gathered together. Oh, y'all look good too. Y'all look good, beautiful clothing and I mean, you really look nice. But let me tell you something. You came to church to get a word. Now my question is, where are you going after you receive the word? Where is the word taking you? Are you going somewhere? In other words, and if you're going somewhere, then the word is your direction towards the place that you're headed. If you get the wrong message, guess what? You're going in the wrong direction. If you get the right message, you're going straight ahead. You're going in the right direction. So now, but look at the sway. The devil has a way of getting you dizzy. You're going from side to side. You're going backwards and forwards. You see, he has you so confused. He has people so confused that they don't know where they're going. All they know, I rode one of those things at the carnival one time, and they put me on this thing. It's called the roller coaster. No, that wasn't the one. It was called not roller coaster. It was called Tilt-A-Whirl. That's the one. It was called Tilt-A-Whirl. I like that. Tilt-A-Whirl. I think it was called, but I said Tilt-A-Whirl. But Tilt-A-Whirl. On this Tilt-A-Whirl, we call it Tilt-A-Whirl, we get on this thing, and this thing will start moving around and around, and then eventually, the thing on the inside starts going around and around, and then it reverses action and go the other way. And before long, you're totally confused. You say, I don't know whether I am coming or going. Tilt-A-Whirl. Do we don't know whether we are coming are going as a result of the direction that the enemy is taking the world. So we got to get off of the system. Am I making sense to you? We got to get off the system. We're in the world, but we cannot be of the world. We cannot become prisoners to the systems of the world. The Lord's objective is to free us from the systems. Yes, we are at a place where we can use the system to our advantage. But you better have your sights set above, on things above. You have to get beyond the systems. I'm talking about religious systems and all that kind of stuff. We got to get beyond that. It can't be church as usual. It cannot be these habits that we engage in. Because right now, let me tell you what's happening. Right to this very day and hour, because I have opportunity to interact with several churches and people and politicians, and for the most part, it is the politicians and the world that's telling the church how to do church. If you are relevant, if you were a relevant church, then you would be concerned about these things, those things or the other. It is not a lack of concern, but it's a lack of direction. How do you handle it? I can't approach this situation your way because God has a way that you don't even have any knowledge of. God knows something that you don't have any knowledge of. So if I get so involved in your approach towards resolving the issue, I won't be in position to listen to God to tell me what I ought to be doing. And that's where many people are. They're too busy engaged in the world systems. And they're so busy trying to get along with the world and to make sure that the world receives them as someone that's proper. But let me tell you something. We got to get past this stuff. We got to get past this. I'm talking about real Christians now. That's going to rise up and become the church that the Lord intends, a church that's in the kingdom of God. And understanding the order of the kingdom, because you want to see God's order established on earth as it is in heaven. So now sway. Listen to what he's talking about. We talk about the sway here. I just want to stay there for a moment. The Bible helps us to understand even how this thing operates, because we have to recognize and identify the enemy. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. Let's identify him. In other words, let's pull the cover off of him so you can see him for who he is. It says, but even if our gospel is veiled, is it veiled today? Is it veiled today? Yes, it is. It is veiled. It is difficult for the masses to receive the message. It is difficult for the masses to receive this message. But it says, even if our gospel, in other words, Paul was so bold to say, if any other come with any other gospel, even if an angel come with any other gospel than the gospel that we preach, let him be anathema. Let him be accursed. So in other words, he was so certain that what he was preaching was in fact the truth, because God allowed him to see what the others weren't focusing their attention upon. And understand, that's where God desired to take us. That there is, we mentioned, we see what's happening in the world, but the question is, what are you seeing? What are you seeing? Are you merely seeing what's happening in the world, and you're trying to put your finger in the hole that's in the dam, trying to stop this thing and stop that thing and the other? Or are you looking from God's perspective, and you are enabled by the Spirit to see beyond the activities as to what's really going on behind the scenes? Because there is a silent, there's an invisible enemy that we're fighting against. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. Yes, these issues are real issues. Yes, the agendas of many special interest groups are rising up, and they're getting a lot of attention. Yes, it's getting to a place where people are moving away and things are being legalized that should not be legalized. But with all of the activity that's taking place, there's something else we got to pay attention to. There is the enemy who's causing the sway to occur. And he says, as I mentioned, he says, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. If you can't see it, because you're dying. Oh, I want you to see it so you won't have to die. If you don't see this, let me tell you something. I want to be able to stand before the Lord and say, I gave y'all the truth. I gave you what you would have me to give you. I spoke without fear or favor. I preached the message that you told me to preach, so that at least the opportunity was extended to all that heard it. But even when it's preached like that, there are those that will turn a deaf ear. Because what happens, it says, if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those, a certain group of people, huh? It's veiled to those who are perishing. They can't see it because they have aligned themselves with death. They don't know where whatever they're attached to is taking them. They don't know where they're headed. Jesus began to say, he said, the reason you can't receive my message because you're not of my father. He said, you say that Abraham is your father. And he started talking about, I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. In other words, you don't know where you came from and you don't know where you're headed. If Abraham were your father, you wouldn't reject me. Oh, I want you to see something here. If you were saved and love the Lord. This is Jesus. This is how he talked now. If you were saved and love the Lord, you would embrace the message that's being preached to you right now, and it would not be a turnoff to you. You see what I'm saying here? See, we have to just bring it to where we live. We can't play with this thing. Now, look at this. It is veiled to those who are perishing. How did they get there? It says, first of all, those whose minds the God of this age, of this world system, has blinded. The God of this world system has blinded their minds And as a result of it, now they can't see it. They can't see it. It's veiled because, in other words, I've been talking about mindsets, right? We've been talking about mindsets. You see, you're getting Sunday morning's message, but you have to also listen to Wednesday nights because we're trying to give you a full package. I'm trying to assist leaders on Saturday so that the leaders can understand the inner workings of ministry so that as a result of it, we get the whole package because I would say the most dangerous individual is a person that's half-cocked. Their gun is half-cocked, you see, because they're not ready to shoot. But they may backfire, you see, that because they didn't get all that God intended for them to receive. So understand this. This thing is burning inside of me. I want you to know it. It's burning inside of me to see each and every one of you brought to the place of wholeness. I want to see the church function as the church ought to function. You see, I want to see the church come to the place of wholeness. I'm tired of this loose stuff. I'm tired of this entertainment stuff, this thing that appeals and allures large numbers of people but does not take them where God intends for them to go. I'm tired of this. So he says now, look at what he's saying here. He said, the God of this age has blinded them, the world system. The systems of the world have blinded them. All they figure they are products of the system. Religious system is here. This is the way we do it. This is how we do it. These are our, you'd be surprised how certain things, even within churches, that become so traditional, that bear no meaning to the truth. And some of those things are really given to us by God, but they're misinterpreted and they become divisive issues rather than things to bring us together. I was listening to Pastor Derek Prince this morning on television, and he was talking about even in certain circles, the Lord's Supper has become a divisive measure rather than a unifying effort, a unifying measure. The Lord invites us to his table now. And understand, the invitation is for us to come to the table of the Lord. But then the division is that if you're not a part of our denomination, then you're not welcome to the table. So you follow? People can begin to split hairs about certain things. Catholicism, which talks about the church, you see, it has to do with the church universal. But yet, understand what it really is. It becomes very closed so that now universal does not mean universal. Universal means us. And then the us eventually reduces itself to the me. Are you seeing this? So then you see what happens. It's not something that just happened overnight. This was the gradualism that has occurred within the church, where now church no longer means the kingdom of God. It has more to do with self-serving. I got to come to church to get my needs met. I came to get what I want from God. I came for me. I came for my. How long will you still be little babies? How long will you still just be about yourself and never grow up? See, babies are selfish because they're babies. They don't know any better. But they weren't born to remain babies. They were born to grow. So now, listen to what he is saying. The God of this age has blinded, this world system has blinded them who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. You understand what he's saying here? The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, which is Christ, the image of God. So you begin to see the Father through the Son as the gospel is being rightly presented. See, everything about the Word of God should bring us to a place of having a clear focus upon the Lord. I see him now in a way that I otherwise would be incapable of seeing him. You see that? Now, I'm saying this to you because I believe that, you see, if you didn't have the potential, I wouldn't waste my time. I wouldn't waste my time. But understand me now. I'm not going to be so remiss to say to you that everybody is getting it because there's a great number of you that's hearing it, but you ain't getting it yet. And I'm going to, my best teachers, the best teachers that I had were the ones that began to look at, I had one teacher in particular, I think I told you about it years ago. Her name was, her name before she married was Miss Player. Scared the daylights out of you. And her name later on was Miss Donnie Moore. But she was a big woman, very intimidating. And when she would come into the classroom, I mean, and that day you didn't have to spoil the rod. You know, you could throw a razor upside somebody's head. And Miss Donnie Moore was good at that too. If you're not paying attention, I'm looking all off and looking all around. Next thing you know, Miss Donnie Moore had looked like a radar system. She would take the eraser as she's writing on the board, and she would take it and throw the eraser, and a big chalk mark is on my side of my head. And it wasn't that it hurt, but it's embarrassing, because I walk out of class with a chalk mark. I'm trying to get rid of the chalk mark. And she said, pay attention. Pay attention. And I said, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I'm trying to pay attention. And then one day, Miss Donnie Moore said, I want you to stay after class. I said, oh, no, I'm in trouble now. I'm in big trouble now. She said, stay after class. So now it's just me and her. I said, I know what's going to happen. I'm probably going to get a whipping. She's probably going to pull out that big paddle. And she's going to say, I'm tired of your mess. And she's getting ready to tear me up. But instead, she said, I want you to sit down here. I want to talk to you about something. See, I was a preacher at that time. I started preaching at age 11. And she said, and she began to sit, she sat before me, and she began to cry. She said, little Walker, she said, it breaks my heart to see you with all that potential trying to be like those other boys. She said, you're trying so hard to fit in, but you have too much potential to just, she said, your language, because I tried to, it wasn't cussing, but I tried, I broke in English. I mean, I would just tear up the English, slaughter the English language, because that's how everybody else talked. So what happened, I would do things just to fit in, and I felt, I'm cool. I'm being cool, man. I'd walk into class with my dip and the whole bit, you know, and I'm cool. I'm cool. But Miss Morris, she's at that. That was worse than the chalk eraser, because it pulled the slack out of my life. And I began to look at her, and I said, this woman really cares about me. And she really cared about me. And then she became one of my favorite teachers. Why? Because after that lecture, I began to see myself differently. I began to realize that it wasn't for me to try to fit in, but it was mine to blaze a path for others to follow. I'm talking to y'all now. I'm talking to you. Stop trying to fit in. Stop trying to fit in. Stop trying to be like everybody else. The whole world lies in sway of the wicked one. Satan has blinded the minds of individuals so that they can't see the glorious gospel, that which is the image of God through Jesus Christ. They can't see it, and they're perishing, lest the gospel would shine upon them. But how's the gospel going to shine on them? Lest we be real. Lest we speak the truth. So now, look at what James said about it. James talked about the same thing here in James chapter 1, verse 7. James 1, 7. He says here, he talks about double-mindedness. You got to read the whole of that, but I'm just starting at verse 7. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, here it is, and unstable in all his ways. He said, don't ever think that he's going to ever get anything from the Lord, because he's a double-minded man. Now, I mentioned the other day, this word double-minded is in the Greek dipsuche. And the word dipsuche means two-souled. Remember last week or so, we talked about it. Two-souled mean that there is the activity that's taking place that is projected, the image that is projected, but behind the scene is another mind working. There's another mind working. There are other ideas that are operating behind the scene. Even though you may say, I'm not trying to do such and such. But in truth, that's exactly what you're all about. But you don't want to face the real you. So now it is saying that the double-minded man, God does more than we could possibly imagine. He's not just looking at your activity. God is looking at your heart. He can look past whatever your projections may be. You said, well, I'm projecting this particular image, and people are convinced of the fact that this is the way I am. God said, no, that's not the way you are. He said, because you have an attitude. You really don't want to be here. He said, and God read that. See, we have to recognize and realize how smart God is. You see, I've been talking about that, that God is omniscient, all-knowing. He knows everything. I talked about it a few weeks ago, but just for review, I said, I'm holding this microphone. God knew what the brand of the microphone would be. He knew what frequency it ought to be set on. God knew who's supposed to have constructed the microphone. A story I was told some years ago, it talked about this person who was working in this factory, this woman working in a factory, and she's put together this protective measure for soldiers. And this was just her job. And you have to put your coat in once you sew your coat in so you know who actually manufactured a particular thing. So now, the war broke out. Her son was in battle. And what happened, he got shot at. In fact, he was wounded. The only thing that saved him was this particular thing that was manufactured in a particular factory. So then they began to research it. The man began to say, if the person had been deficient or, let's say, sloppy in their work, then that sloppy work could have caused that individual, that soldier, to lose his life. Because that person had to make sure that they did this thing the way it ought to be done, or constructed the way it ought to be constructed. So they said, now, I want to thank the person that constructed this particular item and said, let me look up the code. When they began to look at the code, they said, oh, it was in this factory in this particular city. They began to look further on. It was made on this particular day. It was taking place at this particular location. And guess who was sitting at the machine that made that particular measure? It was the mother of the child that was saved by that which was manufactured by his own mother. Are you hearing me now? As we begin to look at this, we begin to look at this whole situation, is that God has a way. He knows all things. He knew that that mother would be constructing that particular thing at that moment, and he prearranged for her item to save her own son's life. God knew you'd be here. He knew exactly where you'd be sitting. He knew exactly the attitude you'd have when you hear the word of God, your receptivity to the message. He knew exactly everything that contributed to your being here. God had knowledge of it. God has knowledge of it. And he also knows what's going to happen when you leave here. He said, well, I already know. I'm not saying God's going to control it all, but God has knowledge of everything. He knew what temperature it would be, and he knows all things. So there's nothing hidden from God, and we have to be convinced of that. Nothing is hidden from God. God has full knowledge. So now, if God has all of that knowledge going for him, here we are with our little finite minds, our finite brains. Wednesday, we talked about the difference between the brain and the mind. Because the brain is that instrument or that's that organ. But we're talking about the mind is greater than that. The mind is very complex. It's more complex than our bodies. And we talked about that Wednesday night. If you missed it, you need to catch up with us. Because I'm helping you to understand some things. So now, this mind that we have, he says that some are double-minded. But he says the double-minded is unstable. Double-mindedness contributes to instability. If your mind is not single, you're unstable. And you wonder, why isn't God answering prayers? He said, that man cannot expect to receive anything from God because of his double-mindedness. And you know what happens? You can act as if you're not double-minded and project an image of confidence, because now I'm going to make all these confessions, but behind your confessions could be your fears. But we're talking about being at a place where you're no longer double-minded. Lord, help thou my unbelief. Help me in the areas where doubt rises. I want to be at a place where I'm single-minded. He said he's unstable. He cannot get through. His blessings cannot get through. He says, I want your mind. I want every part of your being. I want you to surrender your all to me so that you're not just half-hearted in your surrender. Give it all to me. Oh, I want you to hear me now. That's what God is asking for. He wants your all. He wants everything about you. Now, it talks about here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. I'm reading this out of the King James, and then we're going to read it out of the Message paraphrase. But Matthew 6, 22, it says here, the light of the body is the eye. The light of the body is the eye. Shakespeare said something about that, didn't he? Shakespeare says that the eyes are the windows of the soul. That's what he said. The eyes are the windows of the soul. So what happens, there are things that get in. It's really biblical when he said the eyes are the windows of the soul, because it follows in line with this about the light of the body is the eye. And then it says, if therefore, in the King James, if thine eye be single, then the whole body shall be full of light. If your eye is single, then you can allow the light to enter into your whole body. But let me tell you something now. We talked about the veil, didn't we? Satan, the god of this world, veils. He blinds. He puts a veil so that they cannot see. But if your eye is single, then the whole body is full of light. In other words, what did you really want? What do you really want? Well, I want God to bless me. No, do you want Jesus? Do you want the Lord to be glorified? Are you about his kingdom being established upon the earth as it is in heaven? Is it about him or is it about you? If your eye is single, your whole body will be full of light. God will do something on the inside of you so that now you're full of the light. And you know what? God's going to use you. If he gets you full of light, he's going to use you as light. You are the light of your light of the world. He is the light of the world, but you are light unto the world. And he says, and you don't put that light under a bushel, but you put it on top of the hill so that all can see the light. But your body must be full of light. I want people to see the light when they come around me. I want people to see the light when they come around you. You see that? So now your whole body is full of light. But if thine eye is be evil, have an evil eye, he said, the whole body shall be full of darkness. So now we talked about, but if that eye is evil, whole body is full of darkness. He said, well, why can it be both darkness and light? No, it's either light or it's dark. It's either darkness or it's light. He says, so if his evil is full of darkness, but then he says, how great is that darkness? In other words, you don't even have a clue as to the degree of darkness that is contained within one whose eye is evil. So in other words, if you don't keep that focus upon him, you say, well, look at all the great things I'm doing. The Lord said, depart from me. No. I helped a lot of people in a whole lot of ways. Depart from me. Depart from me. No, Lord, did not I prophesy in your name? Did not I cast out devils in your name? Did not I do all these things in your name? But you had an evil eye. Something happened in you where you had an evil eye. He said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. See, we judge it based upon the results of activity. The Lord goes beyond that. And he says, it just can't be something that generate results. It has to be something that's genuine. Your heart being totally directed towards him. And don't ever believe that's an impossibility. God can get you to a place that you can love him with your whole heart, your whole mind, and your whole soul. He wouldn't have said that unless it was possible. Do you know that? God can get you to a place where your love for him can be so strong that nothing else can compete with it. Nothing else can compete with that. He can bring you, I don't care how hateful and evil you might have been in the past, God can take you, your life, and bring you to a place where you can be so much in love with him that nothing matters other than him. And let me tell you something. And it required this in order to get there. You see, it required the right message in order to get there. So now he begins to say, how great the darkness. You don't know the dimensions or degree of darkness. This is how the message puts it. Your eyes, he puts it just like Shakespeare. Your eyes are windows into your body. Your eyes are windows into your body. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills up with light. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to trust you. The word now penetrates. The word now takes root within the heart and the life. He said, if you live squinty-eyed. I don't know. I hear you, but I just can't. It's all right, but... your eyes are squinty, if you live squinty-eyed, have you seen people living squinty-eyed lives? Where they half, their eyes are half open and half closed? If you live squinty-eyed lives, see, then something is happening on the inside of you that ought not be happening. If you live squinty-eyed lives, squinty-eyed in greed and distrust, your body is in a dank cellar. If you pull the blinds on your windows, what a dark life you will have. Oh, I'm telling you, God is wanting to deliver his people. God is wanting to deliver his people. And oh my God, he has the power to do it. Oh, he has the power to do it. Now, look at what happens here as we look at bringing stability to the instability. I'm still on this part. I don't know. I might just end it on this note of just understanding. We go later on. But here in Psalm 82, verse 3, this is what it says here. It says, defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. You see, free them from the hand of the wicked. Now, it gives us our marching orders, doesn't it? It says now what happens, there are some people that's there that our assignment is to get them out of there. We have to pull them out of their situation, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. That's what Paul began to say when he testified before King Agrippa. He said, mine is to bring them beyond where they currently are. Now we begin to see individuals where circumstances have dictated to them, and as a result of it, they're poor and fatherless. He says, so now our job is to defend them. He said, do justice to the afflicted and needy. Make sure that we do justice to those that are afflicted. Deliver the poor and needy. He brings it together now. Deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations. Now listen to this now. They were mistreated, misused, misaligned because of their circumstance and because of their conditions. But here we are on the scene with light. Oh, I'm headed somewhere in this series of teachings. But then Jesus Christ said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. You see, and then you begin to see a whole lot of things. Five areas. I'm teaching that on Saturday. But you see, what happens, we begin to see the instability that's in the world where people are victims of circumstances as a result of the world lying in sway. You see, so they that there are some casualties of war where they are victims, but God has us to deliver, to be used by him for their deliverance. He says, so now they do not know, nor they understand. They walk in darkness. He said, because all the foundations of the earth are unstable. And then he brings us in, and this is one of the most misunderstood and misquoted scriptures in the Bible. And he says that I said, you're gods. I don't see that big G there, do you? I don't see the big G. That you're gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Now, when he talks about your gods, he's really saying that you're judges. You're the one. So in other words, you represent God's judgment to the world. Because it talks about the world, the instability that's in the world, right? Satan is what? He is lording over the system. But let me tell you something. But you have the authority as a result of what God has given you to lord over him. So if he's God over the system and you can lord over him, guess what? You can bring him into check. Is that making sense? So now the system is still a system, but the system cannot hinder or restrict you from carrying out the assignment that God has given you. I want you to hear me now. The system can't stop you. I don't care what the system is or what systems may come and go. They can't stop you from carrying out God's assignment. He said, because if he's God of the system, but you operate by a different system, guess what? Your operation by a different system under the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords can actually transcend the rulership of Satan, who is the God of this world. But not only transcend it, it can undo the damage that was done as a result of the one that rules over the system. And if you think about it, when you go back to those areas, you begin to see the result of the injustices. Defend the poor and the fatherless. Why would the fatherless and the poor need to be defended? Because they're being mistreated. And they're being misaligned by the system. Is that true today? That was true then. Maybe y'all don't see that. But are the poor and the fatherless being mistreated today? You see? And now what happens, I'm not saying that we have to get to the place where we're so much in demanding that certain things would happen and such and such and such. But they shouldn't have to say much. Because understand, we are the ones that could undo the damage that was done. Because when you see people that are victims, we have to always go back. Here's where God knew every contributing factor that brought that person to the place of becoming a victim. And now he has given you the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. So now you can be used. See, I'm helping you to understand. God want to use you to address and to actually influence systems. You're going to overrule systems that's in this world, because eventually this is what's going to happen. The kingdoms of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall rule and reign forever. The time is going to come where all these systems is going to have to come under the rulership of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, they got to bow down to. See, we see them rising up now. But the time will come when every one of these systems have to bow. And you don't have to force it. You know, domination is when you try to force a system to submit. That's going back to what Satan said when he approached Jesus. He said, if you are the Son of God, I'll give you all the kingdoms if you just bow down and worship me. And he says, so now you can dominate the systems. They will be brought. I will cause them. I'll force them into subjection if you just bow down to me. Do you see that? But the influence is different. I want those within the system to see the light. And when they see the light, here's what happens. I said this the other day too. I said, when they see the light, you don't have to make politicians. You don't force politicians to conform. You know, we go down to City Hall and march and say, look, you better listen to us because we're the church. No, I do it as an individual, But we don't have to do it to show the muscle that the church has, because that's illegitimate power that we're trying to reinforce. But legitimate power is when we begin to influence all the people that this is the truth. And guess what? They're going to align themselves with the truth, and the politicians are going to have to bow. Why? Because now his people, they're moving in a different direction. They're moving in a different, the constituencies now have accepted a different standard. So what we really need is not force, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. We really need a revival. We really need a revival. See, I may share some of this on Friday, but we need a revival. So now, look at this. Now we defend them. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk in darkness. They walk in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable, but you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High God. Talking to believers, but you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. If we're not operating the way we're supposed to operate, you die like men and fall like one of the princes. You see, we try to take power, or we try to yield power that we don't have, authority that we don't have, and not surrender to the power of God. He said, you're going to die just like a natural man. And you're going to fall just like when he bring those princes down, you're coming down too. Now, I'm done. I'm just going to mark right here, because I got much more to say to you about this subject. But I want you to understand that God is about stabilizing us. He wants to stabilize us. You see, the instability that's in the world is there because we let it remain. You see, we're letting it remain the way it is. I'm saying the time will come that we know the kingdoms of the world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord Jesus Christ. He shall rule forever. But understand what happens. We are still giving place to the devil. That's the point I'm making. We're giving place to the devil by not giving full expression to the life of Jesus Christ. But as we hear this message, and as we're hearing messages like this, I trust that it will so challenge you and us and all of us. That's why unity is so important, so that we can understand not how strong and powerful we are, but how strong the Christ is within us. You know what we need to look at? Even in relation to individuals that's going through some challenges. You know what? The power of God is so strong. What is cancer to God? What is cancer to God? What is high blood pressure to God? We're talking about natural challenges that people face. What are these physical ailments that we encounter to God? Doesn't God have enough strength to handle these particular things? I'm not saying everybody's going to get healed, but let me help you understand something. Don't ever isolate the physical challenges that people face from the spiritual message that God would have us to focus our attention upon. If we're not taking care of God's business, then we cannot expect God's power to manifest. And I'm not dealing with the individual, because he says, you defend the poor. You defend the fatherless. You see, there are some that are victims of the situation that is occurring within the world, because if it had not been for sin, none of us would ever get sick. Do you know sickness and disease and infirmities are as a result of sin? Not your sin now. It is sin, the factor, sin factor. It is because sin was introduced into the system. Do you see that? And because sin was introduced to the system, we get sick. Not only we get sick, we get old. And eventually, we die. That's a part of the system that we are a part of within this realm, which means that all of our physical bodies will ultimately succumb to the world system. Lest the Lord does not tarry his coming. Eventually, your body's going to decay. Your body's going to go back to the earth. But let me tell you something. While I have the activities of my limb, my bed is not my cooling board. My sheet is not my wine sheet. And the walls, you know that the walls of my room are not the walls of my grave. As long as I have strength, I want God to take the strength that I have. Are you hearing me now? I want him to take the strength that I have and use it in such a way, because we only have a certain window of opportunity. I want God to use what I have in such a way to undo as much of the work of the devil as possible. And I want him to do that in you. I don't want it to be two or three of us. I want to see an army released, unleashed upon this city. I want to see a whole army of people just let loose upon this city, because they've heard the message that you're hearing. And when we let you loose, you're looking for an opportunity to defeat the enemy. You're looking for, you said, you walk down the street and you say, okay, that person has an ailment. Let me go to him and let me just, as a demonstration, not that all sickness and disease would be eliminated, but I'm just demonstrating to all the unbelievers that God has the power to do this. Person has a demon. I'm not going to call the church. I'm casting the demon out. Why? Because wherever the devil shows his ugly head, there's a saint that's being sent forth who has given his whole or her whole heart to the Lord. Single-hearted, single-minded. No other agenda on the table other than to glorify God. And guess what God will do? God will begin to bag up the activity of that person, of that people, because he's going to show to principalities and powers in heavenly places, his manifold wisdom is going to be made known through his people, through his church. And we are the church. We are the people. God said it. He's going to do it. Let's stand and let's worship God. Let's worship him. Let's worship him. Let's worship him for what he's doing, what he is doing among us, what God has promised us and what God is about to do. We give you praise. We give you praise, oh Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise for the difference that you're making in our lives, the difference that you're going to make in the communities, the power that's going to manifest as a result of you, Lord, showing your strength, your arm of strength being made known. They said, who have believed thy report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? God will reveal his strength among those that believe the report. I believe the report. Say this with me. I believe the report. I believe the report. So the strength of God will be revealed through me. I didn't hear you. The strength of God will be revealed through me. Now give him praise. Let's worship him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.